You know the word of God? Isaiah chapter 55 that was read earlier in your hearing by Reverend Hayes. I want to focus on that sixth verse. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek ye the Lord. Children of Israel are in captivity in Babylon. They've had this long journey that started when they were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves for hundreds of years, and they prayed and prayed. And finally, God heard their prayer. Look at somebody and say, just because he doesn't come when you want him, doesn't mean he's not coming. So they prayed, and finally, God sent Moses, called Moses from minding sheep, and sent Moses, little shepherd guy, told him to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And after several encounters with Pharaoh, finally Pharaoh let the children of Israel go. And you know the story. They went across the Red Sea. And you know the drama that happened at the Red Sea. The sea parting and they walking across on dry land. And then Pharaoh's army come and they get drowned in the Red Sea. And one would have thought that that would be the major encounter that they would have, and one would have thought that, oh, it's over now and everything is just going to be great right away. But then it didn't happen that way. They have 40 years in the wilderness in search for a promised land. And in the wilderness, you know the story. They're out there. They got thousands of people with sheep, and they got children and people, and they run out of food. There's no A&P in the wilderness. There's no ShopRite in the wilderness. And God provides manna from on high and water out of a rock. And finally, after 40 years, they reach the promised land. And in the promised land, there's a land of milk and honey. They live in houses that they did not build. They eat grapes that they did not plant. It's a great time. 40 years later, they finally reach the promised land. Everything is great. They're doing good. And then they forgot God. They're successful. I don't know why it is. As soon as we're doing really good, everything is going great. The kids are in college. We got a good job. We moved to the suburbs. We're being able to make our payments. We have a nice car and nice furs and diamonds. We're doing good. And all of a sudden, we forget God. And usually, we don't forget God all of a sudden. Usually, it's a drift. It's a slow, gradual drifting away and distancing ourselves from God. It starts with missing church one Sunday, and the next thing you know, you miss it 2, 3, 5, 10, and a year, and you drift away. Then you begin to wonder, why is all of this happening to me? Why are my kids on drugs? Why are we going crazy? Why did my daughter get pregnant? Why? Because we had this slow drift. And it happened to the children of Israel. Look at your neighbor and say, you know, it can happen to any of us. So they're there. And they begin, the children of Israel begin to act as if there were no God. And God had enough, and God's judgment. And what happened was the Lord God allowed the Babylonians to come and take the children of Israel into captivity. And now, here they are in captivity in Babylon for a number of years. And then God calls a preacher, God calls a prophet by the name of Isaiah. He says, Isaiah, go out there and preach. So Reverend Mr. Dr. Isaiah takes his Bible and he goes out. He goes out. Get that for me. He goes out and he stands downtown Jerusalem and he begins to preach. Reverend Hayes read that scripture too nice. Where is it? Don't worry about it. Isaiah goes out and he stands, I'll back up. He stands on a block, center town. He says, ho, everybody that thirsts, come to the water. You know, everybody's out there minding their own business. They're not looking for, they're in their sin. They're doing their thing. However, you know, sometimes when you're initially getting your sin, it's good. But once you hang out there for a while, how many of you know it can kill you? So Isaiah goes out there, he says, ho! Everybody, come to the water. You don't have to pay for it. Come get your milk. Come get your wine. Come and hear the word of God. So they stop whatever they're doing. And they go listen to Reverend Dr. Isaiah. You know, the Bible ain't said nothing about Reverend Doctor. That's me. Somebody's out there saying, you know that ain't in the word. So see, Isaiah says his message, once he's got their attention, how do you know, before you can talk to anybody, you got to first get their attention. Wake up! Ho! Everybody, come to the water. And he says to them, once he gets their attention, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. The Israelites had messed up so bad. They had been prosperous. They forgot God. They started sinning. They started doing all kinds of things. They were not bringing burnt offerings. They were not showing up for worship. And I can imagine probably back in the day, all kinds of things started happening to their families. And they were in such bad shape, they thought that they had blown it so bad that God would not even listen to them again. Look at somebody and says, no matter how bad you've blown it, God wants you back. He wants you back. But he couldn't possibly want me back. He wants you back. But Rabbit, I messed up so bad. He wants you back. But you've got to want him too. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Now let me tell you something. The Lord ain't never been lost. But we have. I remember Bishop Patterson on that, Bishop Gilbert Patterson, one of his CDs, he tells a story about this young married couple. When they first got married, they get in the car, he be driving, she get over so close to him. You look in the car, it look like one person. She be all up under him. Hey, baby. A few years later, they're in the same car. He's still driving. She's over by the other side of the door. And she starts talking about, you know, we used to be close. When we first got married. He says, wait a minute now. When we got married, let's see. When we first got married, I was driving. I was right where I am right now. Who moved? God is the same yesterday and today. God never moves. He stays at the same place. The only one that's moved is us because we have distanced ourselves from God. He wants you back. We used to be, look at somebody and say, me and God used to be tight for a minute. And you and I started drifting slowly and slowly away. We don't pray anymore. We don't read the Bible anymore. The only scripture we hear is whatever they read in church. And if they read too long, we get bored with that. Seek ye first. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and other things will be added unto you. And our problem is, look at somebody and say, we're seeking the wrong thing. We come to church seeking for a mate, seeking for a job. We come to church seeking the hand of God, what we can get out of church. Look at somebody and say, seek his face. If you get his face, never mind. If you love him, if you have a relationship with him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Do I have a win? Get your priorities straight. Says, notice what Isaiah didn't say. He didn't say, seek happiness. He didn't say, seek peace. He didn't say, seek justice. He didn't say, seek fortune or fame. He says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Well, how do you seek him? Where you go looking for him? I know he ain't lost, but you know, sometimes life can get us in a predicament when we ain't feeling God right now. God takes his time in answering us, and he doesn't answer fast as we want him to answer. And we say, well, Lord, I'm gonna help you out in this case. So-and-so did something to me, and I don't see the revenge coming quick enough. Let me just help you out, Jesus. Where do you look for God? I'm glad you asked me. Thank you for asking. I'm glad you asked me. If you want to find him, look for him in the Bible. Seek his word. It is a lamp unto your pathway. You do know that, don't you? Seek him in his word. If you can't find him nowhere else, seek for him in his word. And let him speak to you. And then, where else do you find him? Well, seek him in prayer. Call upon him. Call upon him in time of trouble. Call upon him. And then once you call on him, wait on him. I mean, we call on him, but we don't want to wait on him. Call on the Lord and the Lord will answer. The answer might be no. Now, we think God, everything you do, just ask and you shall receive. Yeah, you will ask according to his will, not yours. That's where we get it all mixed up, when we ask according to our will, and sometimes our will is not in line with his will, and the answer is N-O. My grandmother used to say no. It wasn't no, it was no. That meant forget about it. What do you look for? You seek him in the Bible. You seek him in prayer. But you also seek him in your conscience. You know when sometimes you're about to do something wrong and your conscience says, don't do that. Your conscience says, you know you got better sense than that. And you say, shut up, conscience. But you got to seek him in your conscience, because your conscience will speak to you. He's got a alarm system on the inside. Do I have a witness in the house that tells us what thus saith the Lord? And we decide we're going to do what we want to do. How many of you confess that, you know, the biggest mess you made in your life, you made it because you listened to your own voice rather than his voice? You decided you're going to do it the way. And if it wasn't your own voice, you know how we are. It was that woman you gave me.
It was that man that you... If I had not listened to that joker, I'd be in better shape today.
Don't say amen there. Seek ye the Lord. Well, when do you seek him? Look at somebody and say, now. Right now. You know, in South Carolina, when I get up here in the north, we say right now. But down in south, what do we say?
Right now. Seek him right now. See, this is the only time we have. We may not have another day. We may not have any other time. Seek him while he is near right now.
And then seek him in sickness. You know, when you get sick, how many of you, you know, you don't pray on a regular basis, but let the doctor diagnose you with telling you you need a triple bypass. You know, how many of you know how to call on the Lord? I mean, you don't have to send for the pastor. You don't have to send for Deacon Nobody. You don't have to send for Deaconess. You don't even have to send for your mama, who's the sainted mama in your family. You can call him, Father, it's me, oh Lord. Stand in. Then we start the moans like we used to hear, in the need of prayer. Sickness. Seek him when you're sick. Seek him when the doctors walk out on you. Seek him when they've given up on you. Seek him to heal your body and heal your mind. And I mean, when I'm sick, Barbara will tell you in a minute, I'm not a good patient. When I had prostate cancer, and she gave me a little bell to ring. Before it was over, I ain't gonna tell you what she told me to do with that bell. I just tell you, I don't have the bell no more. Well, when your spouse don't want to hear it, you can still call on the Lord. You can call him in the midnight hour. You can call him early in the morning. You can call him whenever you want to call him. You don't have to call him loud. He doesn't have a hearing problem. You can whisper a prayer. You can moan it. He can interpret your groan. Call him. And if you have drifted away from him, don't be embarrassed to call. No matter how bad you are, you can still call him. No matter if you haven't been to church in 40 years, you can call him. No matter if you've done a whole lot of low-down, good-for-nothing things, you can still call him. And even if you think that you are unworthy to call his name, you call him anyhow. Because his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. And thanks be to God, he will pardon you if you come to him and call on his name and repent. That's our problem in this modern generation. We don't mind calling him. We just don't want to what? Repent. We want him to fix our mess on top of our mess. But he says, no, I want to fix your mess. But you got to come clean first. He says, I can't hang around with no filth. I can't hang around with all your sins whoring around. You want me to fix all your stuff and doing or slipping in here and slipping out there. You want me to fix all your... You got to come clean before me. And if you will come clean for me, and if you will repent and say, I'm heartily sorry for everything I've done, then I will make... I'll turn your mourning into gladness. I'll turn your midnights into day. I'll restore everything that sin has taken away from you. If you'll just... repent. Sometimes he's got to almost kill us to save us. Do I have a witness?
Yes.
Isaiah 55 says, let the wicked forsake their way, and the upright man his thoughts. How many know there's some smart people with low-down faults? We act like you got to be stupid to have low-down thoughts. You can have a PhD and just as low-down. She says, no matter how you messed up, no matter if everybody says you can't possibly save that rascal, you can't possibly save that woman, you fill in the blanks. He says, if you repent, I will pardon you. You know, when the president, I don't know, did President Barack Obama pardon anybody? You know, at the end of your terms, the president usually, they give him a long list of people that the president can pardon. I wish he had pardoned at least one. He pardoned a turkey. Somebody woke up on that. They ain't heard nothing I said. The president pardoned a turkey. The point is, no matter how bad we have messed up, no matter how low we have fallen, if we call upon the name of the Lord and repent from our sins and say we are heartily sorry, He's faithful to forgive the unjust and wash us and cleanse us and make us whole again. That's the word of the gospel. Then it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I pleased, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy. Look at somebody and say, it don't matter how you came in. You can go out with joy. If you come in not seeking your boo, but you're seeking your Savior. If you come in seeking the Lord, if you come in not seeking happiness, you come in, you're not seeking fortune or fame. You come in, you're not seeking to hit the lotto, but you're asking just to have enough. How many know that if you count all that the Lord has given you over the years, He's just been spooning it out day by day. He didn't give you the $50,000 lotto so you can act a fool over $50,000. He just gave you $50 a day. And He keeps on making a way. He says that when you come in, she says, first of all, I want you to know something, that I'm not just wasting my time calling preachers. I'm not just wasting my time calling men and women to preach the gospel. They ain't up there preaching their word. They're preaching my word. And if they're preaching their word, you ought to get out and get up and get out. But if it's my word, I'm preaching for a purpose. There's somebody that needs to hear this today. There's somebody that's coming here that's their hearts are heavy and they're messed up and they're about to walk out and they don't have any health insurance. They don't have any. I want you to know that the Lord can turn your darkness into day. I want you to know He can turn your sadness into joy. I want you to know that He will accomplish what He intended for His word to accomplish. That it will, today it might bounce off of you, but tomorrow it'll go right to the center of your heart. Do I have a witness? You just keep coming. You just keep showing up. You just keep waiting on the Lord for the Lord to do what the Lord does. The preacher can't do anything, but the Lord can do everything. Then he says to Reverend Dr. Isaiah, you know, when people are in the middle of their sins, they don't want nobody to correct them. Do I have a witness? Like,
I ain't go there for all that. And, you know, even your friends, you know, your main friend, when you in your mess, like, you ought to mind your business. So he says to Isaiah in chapter 55, he says, now, if the people don't sing for you, I'm going to make the mountains sing. And if they don't clap their hands for you, I'm going to make the trees clap their hands. Now, if you don't say nothing, go on, Preach Jackson. Go on, boy. Just help yourself. If they don't want to say nothing, if they don't want to smile, it's all right with me. Just help yourself. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And if you will seek him, he will pardon your sin. If you repent from your sins, he will wash you. And if you didn't have anything to smile about when you came in, if nothing else you can say, you can smile because you can say the pastor is finished. But if the pastor, if the word accomplished its purpose, it might not be your sermon, but it might be the woman or the man sitting right next to you that's on the verge of turning their lives around, and they need to hear this word that the Lord will forgive your sins if you'll just repent. And he can change your yesterday into bright tomorrow. Do I have one witness in the house? Hallelujah! 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 Don't let anybody stand in your way of seeking the Lord. This may be the last time. I don't know. Maybe the last time that we all get together. I don't know. Maybe the last time you hear anybody preach. Never mind me. Anybody. Maybe the last time you hear anybody pray, I don't know. Maybe the last time you hear anybody sing, I don't know. And here you are, sitting right here, and too embarrassed to seek him. All you got to do is just step over somebody's high heels. Come up here, give me your hand, and say, Lord, sin no more. But you say, well, somebody's going to know. He says, forget about them. I had to forgive theirs too. They were worse than you. I know now they're so holy and righteous. But girl, oh boy, if you had known them when, there were people telling me you can't possibly forgive that low life. But I forgave him and I forgave her. And I got just enough.